Welcome to Zichud Daf Simani Mamre by Ram Goldhar and Din Maseches Bava Metzia Daf Samach Vav. The fifth parak Ezu Neshech. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara relates an incident of a man who sold a property without a chrayas, a guarantee of reimbursement if it's collected by the seller's creditor. The seller saw the buyer was unhappy and pledged to reimburse the land and its improvements in produce with high quality land if it was taken. A maimer said, "Petume mili ba'amahu." It's merely words of comfort and not a binding commitment. Since the stipulation should be made by the buyer, since it's for his benefit, and the seller made the offer himself, it's not effective. In another incident, a shchimira, someone deathly ill, wrote a get to his wife so she should not be a yavam if he dies, and he bemoaned losing his wife in the event that he recovers. His wife told him, "Amai kamis nachas. Why are you sighing? In kaimat didachana. If you survive, I'm yours," meaning she pledged to remain his wife. Razvid said these words were petumei mili ba'ama, and the get remains without conditions. Although the wife can never insert conditions in a get, one might have thought that the husband made the get conditional on the terms she dictated. Point number two, the Mishnah taught where a lender said that if the borrower does not pay on time, he can keep his field, which was a security. The stipulation is effective. Rav Huna says, "Bishas matamos, if the agreement was made at the time the money of the loan was given, kan hakol, he acquires the whole field, even greater than the loan amount. Lacher matamos, if the agreement was made after the money was given, lo kana el kaneg ma'osav, he only acquires if he stipulated to keep a portion of the field equal to his loan money." Rav Nachman said that in either case, the lender acquires the entire field. Later, Rav Nachman retracted and ruled that even if the agreement was made at the time of the loan, lo kana b'lo kum, he does not acquire anything. The agreement is an asmachta, a commitment made without thinking would have to keep it, which Rav Nachman ruled ineffective. Rav challenged him for a mission which rules such an agreement valid. The Gemara answers that it is Rabbi Yossi's opinion that asmachta kanya and asmachta is binding, and Rav Nachman rules like an opposing Tana. Alternatively, our Mishnah's case is where the borrower is said to acquire the field me'aksha from now, which is not considered an asmachta. And pointing with you, Rav Nachman said, once the rabbis ruled that an asmachta is not binding, hada arba hadre peri, the field returns to the borrower, and all the produce taken by the lender also returns and is repaid if consumed. This implies that Rav Nachman holds, mechil betalis lohavi mechila, a mistaken waiver is not an effective waiver, which is contradicted by another ruling of Rav Nachman's. If one sells his tree's future dates, Rav Huna says he cannot retract after they grow, but Rav Nachman says he can. He holds one cannot transfer a davar shelo bal la'olam, something which has not yet come into existence. He added, modina di ishamet va'achil, I conceal that if he carried off the produce and ate it before the retraction, we do not take it away from him because the seller waives his right to the produce until he retracts based on his mistaken presumption that the sale is valid. This proves that Rav Nachman holds a mechila betalus is a valid mechila. The Gemara answers that in the case of a loan, the lender must nevertheless return the produce to avoid the appearance of ribbis. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara relates an incident of a man who sold a property without a chrayas, a guarantee of reimbursement, if it is collected by the seller's creditor. The seller saw the buyer was unhappy and pledged to reimburse the land and its improvements in produce with high-quality land if it was taken. A maimer said, "Petume mili ba'amahu." It's merely words of comfort and not a binding commitment. Since the stipulation should be made by the buyer, since it's for his benefit, and the seller made the offer himself, it's not effective. In another incident, a shchimira, someone deathly ill, wrote a get to his wife so she should not be a yavam if he dies, and he bemoaned losing his wife in the event that he recovers. His wife told him, "Amai kamis nachas. Why are you sighing? In kaimat didachana. If you survive, I'm yours," meaning she pledged to remain his wife. Razvid said these words were petumei mili ba'ama, and the get remains without conditions. Although the wife can never insert conditions in a get, one might have thought that the husband made the get conditional on the terms she dictated. Point number two, the Mishnah taught where a lender said that if the borrower does not pay on time, he can keep his field, which was a security. The stipulation is effective. Rav Huna says, "Bishas matamos, if the agreement was made at the time the money of the loan was given, kan hakol, he acquires the whole field, even greater than the loan amount. Lacher matamos, if the agreement was made after the money was given, lo kana el kaneg ma'osav, he only acquires if he stipulated to keep a portion of the field equal to his loan money." Rav Nachman said that in either case, the lender acquires the entire field. Later, Rav Nachman retracted and ruled that even if the agreement was made at the time of the loan, lo kana b'lo kum, he does not acquire anything. The agreement is an asmachta, a commitment made without thinking would have to keep it, which Rav Nachman ruled ineffective. Rav challenged him for a mission which rules such an agreement valid. The Gemara answers that it is Rabbi Yossi's opinion that asmachta kanya and asmachta is binding, and Rav Nachman rules like an opposing Tana. Alternatively, our Mishnah's case is where the borrower is said to acquire the field me'aksha from now, which is not considered an asmachta. And pointing with Rav Nachman said, once the rabbis ruled that an asamachta is not binding, hada arba hadrei peri, the field returns to the borrower and all the produce taken by the lender also returns and is repaid if consumed. This implies that Rav Nachman holds, mechil betalis will have you mechila. A mistaken waiver is not an effective waiver, which is contradicted by another ruling of Rav Nachman's. If one sells his tree's future dates, Rav Huna says he cannot retract after they grow, but Rav Nachman says he can. He holds one cannot transfer a davar shelo bal olam, something which has not yet come into existence. He added, modina di ishamet va'achil, I conceal that if he carried off the produce and ate it before the retraction, we do not take it away from him, because the seller waives his right to the produce until he retracts based on his mistaken presumption that the sale is valid. This proves that Rav Nachman holds a mechila betalus is a valid mechila. The Gemara answers that in the case of a loan, the lender must nevertheless return the produce to avoid the appearance of ribbis. All right, so now we got our siman daf samach vav, and our standard siman relates to sewing, sew, and we use a tailor for the siman, a tailor. So here goes. The tailor who sewed on the back of the customer's suit, who bought land without a chrayis, and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, patumei mili bi'amahu, and then stitched the word asmacht on the shirt of a lender, who stipulated that he could keep the field the borrower gave him as his security if he does not pay back on time. Informed the borrower that his field is returned as well as the produce taken by the lender, not because mechila betalus havi mechila, but because it looks like ribbis. Once again, slow motion. The tailor, that must be one daf samach vav. So, the tailor who sold on the back of the customer's suit, who bought land without a chrayis, and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, betumei mili ba'amahu, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident of a man who sold a property without a chrayis, a guarantee of reimbursement if it's collected by the seller's bal chov. The seller saw the buyer was unhappy and pledged to reimburse the land and its improvements and produce with high-quality land if it was taken. Amemar said, betumei mili ba'amahu, it's merely words of comfort and not a binding commitment, since the stipulation should be made by the buyer, since it's for his benefit, and the seller made the offer himself, it's not effective. So, the tailor who sold on the back of the customer's suit who bought land without a chrayis, and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, betumei mili ba'amahu, and then stitched the word asmacht on the shirt of a lender who stipulated that he could keep the field the borrower gave him as security if he does not pay back on time, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught where a lender said that if the borrower does not pay on time, he can keep his field, which was a security, the stipulation is effective. Rav Nachman retracted his original ruling and said that even if the agreement was made at the time of the loan, well, kind of a low klum, he does not acquire anything. The agreement is an asmachta, a commitment made without thinking he would have to keep it, which Rav Nachman ruled ineffective. So the tailor who sold on the back of the customer's suit who bought land without a chrayis and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, betumei mili ba'amahu, and then stitched the word asmacht on the shirt of a lender who stipulated that he could keep the field the borrower gave him as a security if he does not pay back on time, informed the borrower that his field is returned as well as the produce taken by the lender, not because mechila betalus havi mechila, but because it looks like ribbis, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, once the rabbis ruled that an asmachta is not binding, the field returns to the borrower and all the produce taken by the lender also returns and is repaid if it consumed. The Gemara clarifies that this is not because Rav Nachman holds mechil betalus havi mechila, a mistaken waiver is not an effective waiver, but rather that in the case of a loan, the lender must nevertheless return the produce to avoid the appearance of ribbis. So once again, the tailor who sold on the back of the customer's suit who bought land without a chrayis and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, betumei mili ba'amahu, and then stitched the word asmacht on the shirt of a lender who stipulated that he could keep the field the borrower gave him as a security if he does not pay back on time, informed the borrower that his field is returned as well as the produce taken by the lender, not because mechil betalus havi mechila, but because it looks like ribbis. All right, so now it's time for four blot back chazara. Daf Samach Beis. So the siman Daf Samach Beis is a submarine. So here goes. The submarine admiral. Submarine? That must be on Daf Samach Beis. The submarine admiral who stopped to pick up the lone survivor on a deserted island who didn't share his one flask of water, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brisa discussing two people who were traveling and only one had a flask of water. If both drink from it, they'll both die from thirst, but if one drinks it, he'll survive to reach a settlement. Ben Matura ruled, it's better that both should drink and die, and neither of them should see his fellow's imminent death. Rabbi Akiva came and taught that Chai Achichi Mach teaches, your own life takes precedence over your fellow's life, and the owner should drink all the water himself to survive. So the submarine admiral who stopped to pick up the lone survivor on a deserted island, who didn't share his one flask of water, was rushing to return the ribbons he took, relieved he wasn't getting malchus, which reminds us they weren't being smalchokas if the lender is exempt from malchus because of a kumase, because they are subject to a requirement to get up and do a positive mitzvah to rectify the violation. So the submarine admiral who stopped to pick up the lone survivor on a deserted island, who didn't share his one flask of water, was rushing to return the ribbons he took, relieved he wasn't getting malchus, as his rabbi who was on board told him he should not even do haramas ribbons in the future. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a braisa which states, yesh dvarim shehen mutarim, there are things which are technically permitted, ba'asurim mifnei haramas ribbons, but are forbidden because they are an evasion of ribbons. Daf Samech Gimel. So the simmer Daf Samech Gimel is a segue, so here goes. The boy spinning around in confusion on his segue. Segue? That must mean we're on Daf Samech Gimel. The boy spinning around in confusion on his segue, trying to figure out why he can make an advance payment for produce, but not for the produce's later cash value, which reminds us, Rav says, Osin amana baperos, one may make a trust, meaning an advance payment for purchase for produce, although its value may increase, vein osin amana badami, but one may not make a trust for payment in the produce's later cash value. If he initially gave money and later receives money or any other substitution, it appears like ribbis if the later amount is higher due to the produce's increased value. Rabbi Yannai says, Malihen malihin dmein. What difference is it to me between receiving the goods themselves and receiving their value? Since the original advance purchase was permitted, he may also substitute the produce with something else at payment. So the boy spinning around in confusion on a segue, trying to figure out why he can make an advance payment for produce, but not for the produce's later cash value, was advised by Talmidim in the middle of debating whether ribbis contingent on one side of an agreement is permitted, which reminds us, Shmuel answers the braisa which contradicts Rav is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds tzad echad beribbis mutter. Ribbis contingent on one side of an agreement is permitted. Here, the sale only appears like ribbis if he substitutes the original produce for something else. So Rabbi Yehuda permits it. Rav holds like the Rabban who argue and forbid contingent ribbis. So the boy spinning around in confusion on his segue, trying to figure out why he can make an advance payment for produce, but not for the produce's later cash value, was advised by Talmidim in the middle of debating whether ribbis contingent on one side of an agreement is permitted to ride up a ramp to the ribbis sign and learn the general rule of ribbis that any profit for waiting for one's money is forbidden, which reminds us, Rav Nachman says, Klal de Ribisa, the general rule of ribbis is that kol agad natale aser, any profit for waiting for one's money is forbidden. Daf Samech Dalet. So the Siman Daf Samech Dalet is sewed secret and we use a secret agent. So here goes. This secret agent, that must be more on Daf Samech Dalet. Sewed secret. The secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow an amalong, which reminds us, Rav once gave a shir about one who gives money to a gardener for gourds, and the market price is 10 gourds, each a half amalong, for a zuz, but the gardener offered the buyer that if he paid immediately, he would later receive gourds an amalong. In a later version of Rav, he ruled that the gourds are permitted because they grow on their own. So the secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow an amalong overheard someone buying a barrel of wine to be given at a later date stipulate to the seller that if the wine sours before you give it to me, I get a refund, whereas if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, which reminds us, a buyer permitted to give someone money for a barrel of wine he has to be given at a later date and say that if it sours before you give it to me, it belongs to you, and my money must be refunded, and if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, and the sale remains in effect. A buyer explained that since the buyer accepts the risk of depreciation, karv lezeh lezehu, it's considered near to both gain and loss. So the secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow an amalong overheard someone buying a barrel of wine to be given at a later date stipulate to the seller that if the wine sours before you give it to me, I get a refund, whereas if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, right next to a courtyard which a borrower rented out to his lender, giving him no discount. Which reminds us, the next mission teaches about one who lends money. He may not live in the borrower's courtyard for free, nor may he rent it from him for less, because either constitutes ribbis, although they were not original stipulation. Daf Samech. So the simmer Daf Samech is a seh, a sheep. So here goes. The shepherd, that must be more on Daf Samech, seh, sheep. The shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Marbinah Asakar, one may increase the rent of his property for delayed payment, Bein Marbinah Mecher, but one may not increase the purchase price of his sale because of delayed payment. Rabbi and Rav Yosef explain the difference. Schiros Eino Mishtalemes Ela Basof, rent is only owed at the end of the term. Since the money is owed at the end of each month, not the beginning of the year, the monthly price of a sale is its actual value and not a charge for delayed payment. Rather, the owner is offering him a reduced rate for paying beforehand. Regarding a sale where payment is owed immediately, any increase in price for delayed payment is ribbis. So, the shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, and then also paid a higher price for a new staff he bought on credit, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Tarsha Shari, selling on credit for a higher price is permitted. He was challenged from a Mishnah which prohibits charging more for delayed payment, and Rav Nachman answered, Hasam Katzle, there in the Mishnah, he also set from the price for immediate payment, demonstrating that the higher price is a charge for delayed payment. Hacha Lo Katzle, here in Rav Nachman's case, he didn't set from the lower price for immediate payment. So the shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen, since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, and also paid a higher price for a new staff he bought on credit, made a partial payment for a field, and then was told by the seller that when he pays the balance, the field will retroactively belong to him, which is forbidden to do, which reminds us, the next mishnah states that if someone sold a field and after the buyer gave partial payment, the seller told him that whenever he would pay the balance, he would own the field retroactively, this is forbidden. Rav Huna said in such a case, the seller eats the produce, and Rav Anan said it's held by a third party until the owner during the interim is determined. The Gemara goes on to explain that there is no argument. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we learn the general call for ribbis? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number two, which daf do we learn about partial payment for a purchase, which is completed retroactively upon full payment? That's on daf Samach Hey. Good. Number three, which daf do we discuss the topic whether Mechil Batal is Havi Mechila, whether a mistaken waiver is an effective waiver? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. Number four, which daf do we learn why Yetzias Mitzrayim was written by ribbis, tzitzis, false weights, and shrotzim? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. Number five, which daf do we learn that Neshek and Tarbis are midoraisa the same? That's on daf Samach. Good. Number six, which daf do we learn that sometimes a stipulation is betume mili be'amahu, mere words of comfort, and is not binding? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. Number seven, which of the one may increase the rent of his property for delayed payment, but one may not increase the purchase price of a sale for delayed payment? That's on daf Samach Hey. Good. Number eight, which daf we have a machlokas whether sad echa beribis mutter, whether ribis contingent on one side of the agreement is permitted? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number nine, which of the one borrows commitment that if he fails to pay, the lender keeps his field, according to Rav Nachman, isn't a smachta? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. Number 10, which daf do we learn Rav Nachman said Tarsha Shari, selling on credit for a higher price is permitted? That's on daf Samach Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zirkel Mishnah. Great day and great learning.